podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. It's time for another one of our previews here on the Blue Room. This is from our Subs Weekly show this week. Just myself and Paddy Boylan from The Athletic spoke about all sorts of different things, from Abdoulaye Doucouré, transfer rumours around Doucouré, the return of Ross Barkley and Andros Townsend to Goodison Park at the weekend. But Tuesday was the one-year anniversary, can you believe it or not, of Frank Lampard getting sacked as the Everton manager after that horrific run. So we spoke a little bit about Lampard and his time at Everton and how it all came crashing down towards the end. If you'd like to listen to this in full, the link is in the description for your podcast, or join us at patreon.com/theblueroomextra. Hopefully you enjoy this segment, and hopefully we see you over on the Blue Room Extra too. Cheers. Interesting anniversary today, Paddy, and I couldn't believe this. It sort of felt like a lot longer ago, but it is a year to the day that Frank Lampard was sacked as the Everton manager. A mad day where it was sort of reported, leaked, and then eventually the club confirmed it long after it was actually everyone knew before it was actually confirmed, really, didn't they? But does it feel like it was a year ago? It just feels like so much has happened at the football club. You look back at it and think, like, God, that feels like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, so much happens that anniversaries like that feel a lot longer ago than they actually were. I think the Everton news cycle is very different to just about every other club's, by the looks of, like there's something just about every single week, even if it's just a relatively minor story on, let's say, 777 or something else, an injury concern, there's always something to keep you busy. So yes, it does feel a lot longer ago than 1 year. And that says something about how chaotic and fraught the club has been in that time frame. I believe he's on, judging by the social media, he's on the overlap, Lampard, over the next day or so.
Interesting.
That'll be interesting to hear. I'm sure he'll be asked for his reflections on his time at Everton and what's happened to the club since. That should be an interesting list. But I think it was a case of probably the right personality for the job, but the wrong coaching profile. What they needed after all the turbulence of Ancelotti and Benitez and everything that went down there was just a bit of stability, a bit of security, and a really steady pair of hands. The kind of steady pair of hands we have now in Dyche. And I think everybody wanted it to work. He was very popular around the club. In the main, Lampard was seen as kind of a good cultural fit and was trying to play a style of football that people wanted to see. But none of it ever really came together. I mean, they scrambled to safety and they had some spells where it looked like it might click. I remember them in the 3-0 game against Palace before an international break, looking really quite good. But I think that was actually said more about Palace's inadequacies, looking back on it in that game, than anything Everton did particularly well. And it looked just a shame it didn't work out. I mean, I think he wanted to make it work. He gave everything. He is a hard worker. He is a personable guy to deal with if you're kind of around the club day in, day out. But I don't think anybody can criticise the decision to get rid of him, looking at his results and then comparing them to Dyche's now. My suggestion at the time was just that it probably should have happened sooner, and it would have maybe saved us a nervy end to the season. But I think that one of the other things with an anniversary is it almost puts into perspective what's happened since, and you see that actually they've made progress with this manager, at least in terms of kind of on the pitch stuff, and seem in much better hands with him. So I guess we should be thankful for that too.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say about the it should have happened sooner. Because I think the week everybody goes back to a Lampard is that Bournemouth one, isn't it?
November, yeah.
And at the time, I don't think there's many people calling for it, really. I think now it's very easy to look back and say that was where it all went wrong. Certainly that second one where the players came over to the fans, didn't they, in the away end, and there was a bit of a
to do with Iwobi and stuff like that, and it all just seemed to be getting a little bit fractured. But I don't think anybody going into that international break after that game thought. Oh, sorry, was it the World Cup break after that, wasn't it? It was.
Oh yeah, it was, because I remember writing at the time that if you were going to second manager this season, in that particular season, then that was the time, because you effectively had November through to January to make the change, to have the new manager implement his style and kind of then prepare for a January window where you could maybe get in a few individuals to help with their adaptation. But I think, like I say, everybody wanted it to work with Lampard, and he clung on for a lot longer. You've also got to remember that financially the club's been a mess, so it's not easy to add another cost on top of all the others, and kind of a severance package for Lampard and all his staff, including Ashley Cole and Joe Edwards. You're looking at a sizable amount of money there, so you want to delay it at the very least and try and make sure it doesn't have to come to that.
It was a really interesting, like, time, and just thinking about some of the conversations that people were having, you know, on here and online at that point as well. And I think the main argument against sacking Lampard after a point was that we've just sacked so many managers, we can't sack this one. And it was almost like you're looking more at the overall decisions the club have made over the past few years and the bad ones, and saying, well, we can't keep doing this. And using them as justification for keeping him, as opposed to anything we were actually seeing from him, if that made sense. Like you said, I think that Crystal Palace game was sort of the peak of his tenure, wasn't it? And I think we won at Southampton, didn't we, as well? And he went on Match of the Day and sort of, I think he said, didn't he, you know, it's good to prove people wrong, and was maybe getting a little bit carried away himself. But I think when you look at after that break and coming back for the World Cup, you had Wolves, didn't we? Which we lost last minute. We had Southampton, which was just like the grimmest of grim days for so many different types of reasons. Then we had the Brighton game. We had United in the cup, and I think by the time I think after we lost to Wolves, to me, then it just sort of felt like, well, he's going to go at some point.
An
It's just the case.
inevitability.
It's just a case of when. And then even after that, actually, you know, we get a good point to City, don't we? With Gray scores that wonder goal, and there's a bit of fighting spirit. But even that game, it didn't really feel like this is going to be the start of something, you know, a route back towards us being a good team again. It just felt like temporary respite.
Well, I
But
think he had quite a few of those. I mean, I don't know for certain, but obviously winning as he did against Crystal Palace in that October, that alleviated some pressure. I even remember there being talk ahead of the Man United Cup game, kind of mistaken talk, really misguided talk about, like, kind of he needed to win to save his job. I think it was much more about just making sure that the players were still on board with him as a manager. And obviously Everton lost, but played pretty well. At least they were at least respectable in the game for most of it. So it just kind of prolonged the inevitable, but every delay effectively reduced the margin for error at the other end with everything that went on. And I think the other point to make is, I mean, you referenced it there, that the idea of that chaotic day where everyone was trying to work out whether he was being sacked or not, and a story emanating from London after meetings between Lampard and kind of senior people at the club, where maybe others on Merseyside were playing catch up. And I think that disconnect there, I think, struck to the heart of this cheery project and why things haven't worked out the way anybody has hoped. Too many people in different places getting involved, and maybe not one kind of central core where everybody's kind of there working together. It seemed like so much of this was kind of across purposes, and the lag in announcing his sacking was as a result of people kind of closer to home, people at Finch Farm and the Liver Building, maybe not knowing, not having fully caught up to what was taking place in a London boardroom.
We also had the situation after that West Ham game, didn't we, where Mashiri and Kevin Wright both spoke to Sky in the car park outside. And it was sort of a case of both of them, you know, this isn't verbatim, obviously, but they both sort of said, they were both asked about Lampard, and they both sort of said, well, it's not my decision. And it was a case of, well, someone's gotta do it, you know, it's gotta be someone's making that call, and I think we probably all know that it's ultimately Mashiri who has been doing that. But like even that, just you know, it's not good imagery, is it, when you've got two people at the top of the football club who are just coming out and sort of holding their hands up and going, "This is bad, but listen, I'm not going to do anything about it. I can't do anything about it."
Yeah, like that kind of I'm not going to comment, but I'm still going to speak to you kind of thing. Like either comment or just don't. And you're well within your rights to look at a reporter. And I say this even as a journalist, to look at a reporter and say, no comment. And you can do that on the basis of like that this is somebody's job here on the line, and maybe commenting on it publicly is not the way to go. I did feel sorry for Lampard in that moment. Another thing about that West Ham day that people will obviously forget is that as that was all unfolding, a potential new signing, and Arnaud Danjuma was sitting at Finch Farm watching that game. So it just as ever, there's kind of multiple things going on at the same time. As it happened, there were loads of red herrings, but the key clue in all of this was that Mashiri is not domiciled in the UK. He does not spend most of his time in the UK, but he had come back for, I think it was a couple of weeks, all told, to solve the Everton issues, to kind of to make a decision on Lampard, to make a decision on a potential new manager, all that kind of stuff. And it was no surprise that more or less as soon as he came back, that the wheels started to kind of get into motion. I think they got there in the end, but they got there maybe a bit too late for me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.